Hey, grandkids, welcome to OPA number 15. I do believe if I've actually numbered this correctly.
That's amazing. Well, we're back again for another week. More topics to discuss.
Yeah, now I don't even know if you... I kind of was surprised when I looked at Evernote today and did not see anything new in there from yourself. I was like, oh, Ken was slacking off this week.
Yeah.
So I threw some things together there in what little spare time I had.
Yeah, I've been a busy...
During the day.
Busy boy this week, so I did not get to... add topics this week, so we're gonna actually didn't discuss it ahead of time either, so
yeah,
this is on the fly.
It's should be amusing. I don't know, did you look at any of the three topics there, or do you want to go with a very simple one that could start things off? I think the sports one could be easy fodder without you actually looking at the article.
Oh yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, so
was this about
I could not resist. I saw I haven't gone to Grantland that much recently. Like, I only seem to go there for like certain writers, like one or two writers.
The Bill Simmons
no, I haven't read his stuff in a while because he only does basketball now.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't read his stuff at all. Like, he, maybe I'll listen to the occasional betting podcast with him and Sal from Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, I listened to that too. I kind of feel like they're, he's not into the football as much anymore, you know, and you can kind of tell.
Yeah, that's why I don't think I was, for a couple of years there, I really listened to it a lot. And then I think it was last year, maybe even the year before, you could tell that he had lost a bit of interest. So I stopped making it a must on a Friday afternoon.
Right.
So, yeah, this article, of course, interested me for a couple of reasons.
Now, it looks like this is comparing NFL quarterbacks in some way.
Yes, it is comparing NFL quarterbacks. It is actually... Because I didn't think about it, and I'm not sure if the article mentioned it. But, yeah, this is the 10th year for Philip Rivers, Eli Manning, and one Benjamin Roethlisberger.
Hmm.
So, this article was arguing, I think it's by Robert Mays, that if you just look at statistics... Philip Rivers has better stats than either of the other two gentlemen that were drafted in the same year as him.
Huh. Well, that's another interesting one. This kind of is carrying on our you know, our stats portion of the show.
Yeah, we do go stats heavy when we talk about sports.
But I wonder, you know. I mean, well, some of winning a Super Bowl is definitely luck, right? I mean, certain things have to go your way, I think, some point in the season.
A whole lot of luck.
Yeah.
It's pretty much proven that less injuries always helps for a good season. You know, when you're not playing your third offensive tackle, second offensive guard... second or third center for the season.
Now, are you saying that you think injuries are luck?
Yeah. I mean, maybe not the cause of them directly, but who gets the injuries isn't... you know, there are some people that seem to be prone to injury, but I'm not sure if they're really prone to injury.
That's what I want to know, because some people do seem to get, you know, if they get a reputation for getting injured, then, like, they won't get signed by anybody. But is it luck or is it not luck? I guess that's, like, the thing. Like, because they say, like, if you're playing at half speed, you know, you're not playing with your full intensity or you're distracted for a play, like, that can be when you get injured. And I don't know how much truth there is to that overall. I'm sure there's some injuries that are just, you know, fluke injuries.
Oh.
But, you know, maybe some of them could be prevented by a little more, focus.
Yeah, it depends upon what type of injury, I guess, too. Like, there are some that it's going to be caused by impact from another player. And it's usually just, you're in an odd position. Usually the person gets injured is in a bit of an odd position, or they're just very open to a hit.
Right.
And there are any number of times where people pop right back up from it. Also, like, you know, a similar type of hit. But there are other times where the guy blows out his ACL. Like, you know, someone goes to take out someone's legs. You know, I mean, they could really have someone lose an ACL on almost every play.
Yeah.
But so, there's some degree of luck in there. Like, you know, maybe the angle wasn't completely right to have that happen. But I mean, it's all happening so fast. It's that, you know, and I agree in the general sense that, I mean, it's hard to pinpoint a hit, like, exactly, you know, with an exact direction or a similar direction all the time.
So, what are you meaning, pinpoint?
Two objects are moving, so you can kind of...
We're getting pretty deep here. Two objects are moving. A train is pulling out of Chicago, traveling at 60 miles an hour. Yes. Well, anyway.
Yeah, I'm just saying that it's just hard to... field conditions are different from, you know, game to game.
Right. Yeah, no, turf can definitely cause injuries.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are just a bunch of factors in it. They've certainly tried to limit them more, like getting away from... because even the synthetic fields now are not... all that, you know, no one complains about them anymore. Like, they've actually engineered them to try and be less injury-proof.
Yeah, like, you know, when you look back at old footage of them playing, like, on that old AstroTurf, it's like, how did people play on that? That's like, I don't know. It's, like, so hard and...
Yeah, I just remember playing, and I mean, I'm not trying to make the comparison, but I mean, we played flag football on that stuff.
When we were in high school.
And I mean, there was an occasional time where maybe you got tackled instead of someone just grabbing a flag. And it hurt. And I couldn't imagine that, you know, you throw the violence of football on top of that. And I'm going to guess it's not going to feel any better.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to guess it feels substantially worse.
Yeah, I mean, you would wear, you know, more padding and things that would probably protect you more, but... like if your arm, you know, forearm or whatever, you know, scrapes on the ground as you're getting tackled or something, you usually can get a pretty good
rug burn
there from that. Yeah, so that's yeah, it's not a good idea to play on that. But yeah. Somehow we got a little bit off topic because we were talking about the quarterback class of
2004,
so it's been 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years. They were just saying that statistically, Rivers has had the best numbers out of him, Eli, and Roethlisberger. They obviously brought up the point that, well, in some ways they downplayed it because they didn't remind you that both Eli and Roethlisberger have two titles each.
Right.
And Manning did it twice against the Patriots, which is something of a feat considering how well they've done recently.
All right, so I'm, you know, a little slacking in that I didn't read this article, but do any of the stats take into account the quality of the teams that they're on, or is it just the basics like completions and?
Completions, touchdowns, yards per gain, or yards per pass. You know, and he had two really terrible years. Well, actually, he had one bad year and one terrible year. Really, because the one statistically, one of his two bad years, like he was up there with Peyton Manning.
You're talking about Rivers?
And Rivers, yeah, yeah. Like his numbers were up with Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, and Drew Brees. But his teams weren't always making it to the playoffs. And if they were, they were not doing well.
So that could be...
That's why I say the article downplayed the championships from Big Ben and Eli a bit. Because they didn't really acknowledge that there were a couple of them. But they also didn't kind of talk about the defense in any way on each team. Like, you know, that was just... straight up looking at numbers. And one of his bad years, he was ranked eighth best through, I think that he was using the Football Outsiders numbers, the DVOA.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, they do have a lot of the writers that used to be there at Grantland now. So I'm not surprised. And even if he wasn't there, he's quite familiar with the system.
Yeah, I was just trying to look up
and his one bad season, he was still the eighth best quarterback in the league, and I think the one that was terrible was he was 22nd. But then I wasn't too surprised either that part of his turnaround a couple of years ago was Ken Whisenhunt, who also did a very good job with Roethlisberger. I mean, he had one of the Super Bowl wins, was the offensive coordinator. So I wasn't surprised that he worked well with Rivers. And I forget what the head coach's name is, because he was a bit of an unknown. I remember everyone mentioning that. And then Whisenhunt left to coach the Titans.
Yeah, well...
So,
yeah, that would probably, I mean, having a good coach would definitely make a difference too. I mean, there's just so many factors that go into, you know, that you can make arguments about. And then plus the, you know, talk about luck. I mean, with baseball, at least, like there's so many games and so many plays that like the luck kind of evens out a little bit more, I feel like.
Oh, right.
Like in football, it's just one game a week, you know, just 16 games. And you've got to, you know, make those all count. So you only have a limited amount of plays really to you know, bring stats from. So it's like,
oh right,
the margin of error would be a lot higher in terms of like who is the best player, you know.
Well, and I guess it got me interested at least in one way to not even really talk about the article, but. It's just always that greatness is always the trump card is always winning the championship.
Yes.
You know, the numbers, and it seems like that's one of those things that I remember it being that way when I was a kid, and I still remember that being that way now. Like, it's one of those things that hasn't changed at all, even though you can kind of figure out numbers better now and rate quarterbacks better. Yeah. At least in that manner, they're right. Still rated the same way, even though you can probably define the how much better someone was than someone else.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to people as like the best way to come up with a champion. Like, okay, this is the best team. Like they've gone through the playoffs. They've faced off against the team that has made it through their conference playoffs. And it's like, all right, well, maybe they're not necessarily, even if one conference is stronger than the other one, like, that conference has had to, you know, put out the best team from that conference because they beat all the other teams, you know?
Right.
So it's like, you're going to get somebody that pretty much everybody can agree on, you know, this makes sense that this team would be the best. Like, this, we've set up a system that seems fair, you know?
Yeah.
Even if it's not.
Well, And I guess another thing that I remember about that draft is I saw a decent amount of Roethlisberger games just because they played Kent. So I watched that game. That one was televised locally. And there were, you know, just because he was there, they got a couple of national games.
Did he stand out as a quarterback back then?
Yeah. But I had also watched Philip Rivers a decent chunk. It helped that he started all 4 years at NC State. So I had seen a lot of him, too. Like, I don't watch nearly as much college football as I used to, but at least at that point I still was. And I was actually hoping that the Steelers drafted Philip Rivers. I didn't have any problems with them getting Roethlisberger, if that's what it, because it seemed like I just remember that year that the Steelers were kind of at the mercy of the first two picks, because San Diego and the New York Giants both picked before the Steelers that year, and those were the only other two teams that needed quarterbacks.
And then that year, famously, I believe Eli Manning was drafted by the.
Yeah, he was drafted by the Chargers.
Chargers, yes.
But then traded.
But then he before even suiting up as an NFL player, he made his Manning face while he was holding the jersey up for the Chargers, because he did not want to play for the Chargers. So that was pretty funny in a way.
Yeah, that was a fun 10 minutes. So, yeah, when the Giants ended up picking Rivers and flipping him with Eli there, I was fine with Roethlisberger coming. But I had seen enough of Rivers that I was really excited if the Steelers got him. And he seemed like he was, at least from everything I'd ended up reading about the draft that year, because I read just a boatload on the draft that year. It seemed like he was going to be the third place quarterback anyway, just because he had, and they talked about in the article that his throwing form is just kind of weird. He kind of throws sidearm.
Yeah.
And he looks like he kind of pushes the ball more than he's like throwing it.
Yeah.
So he just kind of has a weird general motion, but
results should kind of trump that, I would think.
Right. And yeah. That was the other thing that the article was mentioning is that his form hasn't been a problem, and his teams have dropped like one, I think it's the fourth fewest passes in his 10 years. Wow. So I mean, that's pretty good, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, it could be that he has good receivers, but, you know.
I definitely think that helps.
Yeah.
And that is something that a quarterback really can't always count on.
Yeah, I think that as I've, gotten older, that I've come to appreciate that more about, you know, I guess this article is kind of saying that, you know, winning championships maybe shouldn't be the only, you know, the kind of the trump that, you know, you have to win a Super Bowl to be a great quarterback or something, you know. Or, you know, you can say who's better by who won more Super Bowls. And I think there's something to that, but, you know, you can't say that that's necessarily what makes a team the best, I guess. You know, it comes down to luck sometimes. It can make you crazy as a fan, but, you know, it's just the uncertainty of it all.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't think, like I said, like it was just kind of interesting. Like I couldn't click away from it. I'm like, oh, I just have to read this. Like I tried to resist reading it, but I'm like, ah.
Now, was there any parts where they were like dumping on Roethlisberger?
No, they didn't. It was more just an article on Rivers than it was, because it did talk a lot about the new coach and reviving his career after, because his last 2 years under North Turner were really bad, and he's had this the new coach the last two seasons, and he's done really well again. Or maybe he just had a really good season last year, and this will be the second season. I might be a little bit, I might be off a year there, but, yeah, it was more, cause it really wasn't anti-Eli or anti-Roethlisberger. You know, they just said how good Rivers' stats were, and, because they didn't, I don't even feel like they mentioned, either of their stats really on a regular basis. Like, you would think, at least for comparison's sake, that you would put them in there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that it sounds like a pretty good argument, and I can't necessarily fault them. But since, you know, Ben Roethlisberger is my quarterback for my team, I'm going to have to say he was the best of the group. And I'm very biased. But there you have it. But, yeah. Kevin, we're talking about football, but that's not really the only kind of game that people play these days.
What games do people play, Ken?
Monopoly. Yeah. But that's not what we're going to talk about next.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I could talk about Monopoly, but no. I was just looking at the next topic, was video games.
Yes.
And something that I've just heard about a little bit recently was that Amazon paid $1 billion to buy a website called Twitch.
Well, they didn't pay $1
billion. $1 billion.
They only played a mere $970 million.
Oh, okay.
Google offered $1 billion, but they laid off that offer.
They went for less with Amazon, huh?
Yeah. They felt like that they would merge with YouTube if they went to Google. Or that there would be some antitrust lawsuits because of it. So, Google doesn't really have a TV presence or an online presence like YouTube.
Yeah.
So, they liked that. They felt like they were going to get more autonomy from
Amazon.
From Amazon.
So, the owners want to stick around.
Sounds like they just... They were expanding so quickly that they needed help. And there was no one, there weren't a whole lot of people that could provide the amount of help. Because I read a couple of different articles, because there was another one attached to this one that was mentioning how old gamers are. And another one about how... yeah, because which one was that? Was that the Vox article that I had sent?
I think, no, it's New Republic.
Oh, okay, that was the one about the game of the age, the ages of the gamers, and some other information. But. Yeah, there was another one on Vox that was just mentioning what Twitch was. I mean, I guess I had no idea. Well, I guess I did have some idea. Because South Park did that episode of Minecraft. And they were just talking about watching it online. And that really should have tipped me off. And I mean, I guess I've heard some gamers talking about it. But just because I don't really know too many gamers...
Yeah.
I'm not all that familiar with the subject, really, to start with.
Yeah, I kind of, I think, lost the title of gamer somewhere not too far after the demise of the Super Nintendo. Because I remember, you remember I played GoldenEye quite a bit. wait, no, that's Nintendo 64. Sorry. Anyway, yes, I played GoldenEye quite a bit, but... Yeah, I didn't get into Halo or any of those games, you know, Call of Duty or any of that stuff after that. But, yeah, I mean, people were really into checking out these videos that people would stream their play. Well, then that's what Twitch is, basically. You can stream your game and other people will watch.
It really is YouTube for gamers. And I just, it was crazy that people do it for a living. Like, they have their own channel and that's what they do for a living.
Huh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I was just like, you can make it life doing anything, really. Like, it's just one of those things, just like, I'm over the shock of that actually being a job and just going, damn, man. Like, you've at least got to be very good at playing these games. So, I mean...
Or entertaining in some way, I would say. Yeah, I don't know.
Right. You've got to have some type of charisma to be able to pull this off.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what that is exactly.
Step one, play video games. Step two, question mark. Step three, profit. I think that's the diagram. Yeah, I don't know how that works, but God bless them. And, you know, I think that's great. Do what you love.
Yeah, if you can make a living doing that, God bless.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but, I mean, the article was pointing out how much money are in video games these days. And, you know, they can make more money than movies. You know, some big movies that come out. So it's like, just because each, you know, game on a console can cost like $60. So it's like everybody who buys one of these is shelling out some big cash.
I checked out of the gamer title, before you did. Like, I remember coming up to State College and, going down to the video arcade, after a few beverages, to play some games for a bit before picking up more beverages.
Good times.
And yeah, that was the only time I played, because I know that you'd kick my ass every time we played. So that was never a whole lot of fun.
Well, it was fun for me. yeah. It, you know, they said the average age for a gamer is 31 now.
Yeah, and it didn't really surprise me, to be honest, just because we did play, but I guess I know enough people that at least have some type of a system. I don't know if Jeremy would call himself a gamer or not.
Well, he does have an Xbox One, I believe, right?
Yeah, he has an Xbox One.
Does he play games on it?
He does play some games on it. He seems to have been a little disappointed, but I don't think he's on Twitch.
Yeah.
No. So I guess to me, you're having to at least get to that status.
He's not a Twitcher.
Yeah. If he's not a Twitcher, he's not a gamer.
Gotcha.
Like, he plays games,
but he's not a gamer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I gotcha. Yeah. I fell out of that world, a while ago, but, it's not too, you know, I guess I'm a little surprised at the $1 billion price tag. I mean, that's just a lot of money. What, but why should I be? Because there's already been these $1 billion deals for, you know, Beats by Dre or whatever. How much was that, a billion?
I don't know.
I think it was, yeah. And WhatsApp, you know, all these things are getting bought up for huge amounts of money. But it seems like it's kind of, in for Amazon's case, I don't think this is what they're doing, but some of these, it seems like they're defensive moves. Like, basically, we're going to buy you up so that we don't have to compete against you, you know?
That does seem to be the case a lot, because to bring Mr. Mays back into the conversation, because I think Google bought the recording system that he was using for our shows. So he actually had to search out something new for his PC to record the shows.
Because they discontinued it?
Because they discontinued, because it was rivaling something of theirs. So they bought it up to just get rid of it.
Hmm.
I mean, it had hung in there for a couple of years after they bought it, but they still got booted after like 3 years or something of the sort.
Okay. Well, yeah, I just, a billion seems like a lot for this service, but now I guess Amazon is going to be able to like stream this on their, you know, to people's TVs and things like that.
Yeah. And that's going to be part of the upside there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'll pay any more attention. Like, it was interesting to read about that stuff. I wasn't surprised that a lot of the gaming industry is on the handy-dandy little devices that people carry around now. That part didn't surprise me at all. Because that's about all I play. Like, I don't have enough time, and I don't... That was the one thing. What, I got a PlayStation from Jeremy once, but the dogs did not like me playing PlayStation at all. So, because that was the only time they bugged the shit out of me. I could be watching TV and they wouldn't do anything. I put a controller in my hands and they just start bugging me.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. So, I just kind of, because I picked up a Final Fantasy like 7 or something like that.
Oh, okay. That's a pretty good one, I think.
Yeah.
I remember playing that one.
So, it was a lot of fun while I played it. But after we got Kia, it was pretty much dunzo time for that.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see if this helps out Amazon. I mean, there's a company that I don't know what they're up to, you know. It just seems like they're not really making any money as a company. So it's like because they're charging low prices, but it's almost like if they can take over everything, then why would they have to charge low prices anymore? You know, like, I don't know. That just kind of worries me a little bit, just to see them kind of growing like a, some kind of Cthulhu-like monster underneath the ocean, one day to rise.
Well, it's between them and Google, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
it's going to be Mega Shark versus Giant Squid.
Oh, you know, this is something that I didn't post or anything, but yeah, you know, since you had brought up Google and Amazon, I saw that Google was starting to, I forget what they called the program, but they would have some employees that were located inside, like, grocery stores, like, in your city.
Uh-huh.
And you could order, you know, something from the grocery store and get, like, a same-day delivery, because they would go there and, like, check it out. You know, you'd pay for it online, and then they would deliver it to you. And you would pay for whatever, the delivery or anything. But that, you know, is seen as, like, a direct competition with Amazon, and seen as kind of a smart move, because they don't have to like own these warehouses and, you know, figure out distribution and like negotiate, you know, contracts with UPS or whatever. Like, they can just use the stores that are already there, you know, and make some, you know, money on the delivery and things. But, you know, they'll be able to whatever, use their algorithms to like get the best, you know, most efficient deliveries and, you know, have their economies that they can bring to it still. So it seemed like a pretty cool idea. Be interested to see if that works out for them.
So who was this? Google?
Google, yeah.
Yeah. They're always, someone's trying to think up something all the time.
And it was, somebody compared it to like how Coca-Cola expanded hugely. Because they would have like bottling plants that would make it that they didn't own, but they were just, you know, spread out all over the country. And so they would just, you know, let these people make it for them, and they would just kind of make some of that money. You know, well, they would make the make some money when they were, you know, on the deal there. But
right,
they didn't own any of the factories or the distribution. So it's kind of a similar idea here that Google is doing here. So we'll see how that catches on. But I think they were going to do it with, like, Whole Foods was one of the places that they were going to start with. So.
Oh, okay.
Sounds kind of interesting.
Gotcha. Well, I'll keep my eyes peeled when I head there.
Yeah, this winter, I don't know if they've started in Columbus yet, because I think they were just starting it, like, you know, New York and San Francisco or something, but...
Gotcha. It'll hit us 15th.
Stay tuned, yeah.
What was the, I'm trying to think, oh, yeah, well, you have one snoring right beside you.
Oh, yes.
At the current moment, he may have even made a surprise background noise in this very podcast.
Yeah, he's kind of off to the side, but you might be able to pick him up.
this one was a little, to me, light on the science and more on the mix and match. It was talking about how owners reflect their dog in one way or another, and that they do actually look alike.
I remember there was a scene from Lady and the Tramp where the dogs were walking out with their owners, and they all looked the same. You know, they all had like the same bearing or haircuts or whatever. But so apparently this has been a line of thought for a while here.
Yeah, this has been a line of thought for quite some time. Of course they're doing some of this research in Japan. Where else would you do this?
Well, that's if you're going to research, you know, playing soccer against children, that's where you do it. So I think this is in the same vein.
Yeah, 33 versus 3. This works out just fine. Because it was funny, they did two different studies. They did studies, and I mean, I don't even know how you can consider them. So what they did is they cut out a dog head and a human head, and they gave people like a set of 20, and they usually matched them.
So I would, all right, let me look at the stats here.
Yeah.
So you would... They were able to pick the right one 2/3 of the time.
Yeah, so 67%.
All right, well, that's better than random luck, I would say.
It is better than random luck, especially if you're dealing with that number of people.
Yes, that being 20 pairs.
Yeah, 20 pairs. So, I mean, that takes a little bit more than luck to figure that out.
But, yeah, it's a 373 participants, so I guess, I mean, I don't know if that's like a medium-sized study, would you say? I'm not sure.
I think that's a little small.
Yeah. So it could have been a bigger study, I think, but it's an interesting result, I guess.
Or the Yeah, it just teaches me that, and that's why it didn't surprise me that one of the things that it mentioned is that... owners that are usually in shape have dogs that are in shape, and owners that are heavy set tend to have fat dogs.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, I'm looking at some of these, but that can't be the only thing. Well, these pictures are just the dog's face, so...
Right. No, this is separate from the study.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that was part of the study, because they went even further... and just did, like, eyes and snouts or something like that. And eyes and mouth for the humans.
What, just, like, floating eyes and mouths?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And people were still matching them up at some decent clip.
Huh.
Like, higher than random luck.
Yeah, because I guess I was going to ask that question. Like, what is it that they're using to base this on? Like, how are people deciding that dogs look like people? You know, I guess eyes and
yeah, they didn't really, to me, give a whole lot of evidence in that department.
Yeah,
you know, to me, it's just like for some reason people can figure out what kind of dog person another person is.
Yeah.
With a fairly accurate judgment.
Yeah.
But to me, it doesn't prove that, or nothing in the article to me proved that my dogs look anything like me.
You know, I guess you could say that people might pick dogs that look like them. That's what the one reason they said here, but...
Yeah. But even then, they were mentioning that it's a subconscious thing.
Right. No, I feel like people aren't like, all right, which dog looks like me? But, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I have two very different dogs, so I'm not sure, the boxer looks like my ex-wife, and, I look like the, hound dog.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, Kevin. But, I think that dogs do, like, they could pick up on, like, facial expressions a little bit, don't you think? Like, because I think that they do, like, you know, there are other science that says that they're so focused on people and, like, our moods and, like, they can, you know, tell basically, like, what kind of mood we're in or, you know, things from their observation because we kind of are important to the dogs because we give them everything and take care of them so they have to learn how to, like, do what we want, you know? So it's,
right.
It wouldn't be totally crazy for me to think that the dog might, pick up a little bit of your, I don't know,
mannerisms.
Yeah, your mannerisms. Like how you smoke a cigarette, the dog would kind of like copy that. No, like, just like little facial expressions, maybe. Is it weird to talk about dog facial expressions?
Micro expressions. It's gonna be like the unfortunately failed Tim Roth show. Oh crap! I just had the name.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
That was a good show. They canceled that too soon. Wait, Lie to Me, right?
Yeah, Lie to Me. Yeah, I really enjoyed it, but they were just talking about being able to decipher what mood someone was in by looking at their at their facial expressions. And I guess it wouldn't surprise me if there was some common denominator amongst that, because there really is a somewhat limited amount of facial expressions that you can go through.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard about that micro expression thing where like you'll, maybe just like a fraction of a second flash, like a certain look or, you know, of disgust or surprise or whatever. And like, you won't even realize that you're doing it.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's another one of those, subconscious, things.
Yeah. So, that could be it. It could just be, although... Would they be able to capture these micro expressions in a photograph? I don't know.
Yeah, they were always using a videotape in the show.
Right.
So, although I think they did kind of catch stuff from some surveillance videos, but they always needed to take a better look. They needed the subject.
Yeah. I would think 101 would be the best way to do that. But, I would, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think dogs do have expressions. Sometimes it looks like a dog is smiling, would you say?
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, they look like they know they did something wrong. They're like...
Yeah. Cayenne, the boxer, he doesn't want to come near you, but he still just sits there and stares at you. And he doesn't wag his nubby.
When?
When he's in trouble.
Like,
and he knows it, too. Like, there are times where he'll just, like, I know I did something wrong. And then he comes and stares at you from a distance and doesn't wag his tail at all.
That's when you know he knows.
Yeah, he knows that he did something wrong. And he's kind of alerting you to it, which... I guess is supposed to be nice.
Do you think he knows that? Is that his? Do you think he thinks that that's his way of telling you? I would think that he doesn't know that you're picking up on it, but maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I think he knows that he's busted at that point.
Okay. So he's just kind of seeing if you know yet, maybe?
Yeah.
Seeing what you're going to do about the situation?
He's like going on a lookout or something, like, Dad, don't come up here.
Don't come in here, Dad. Come on.
Stay what, like I did something? He'd just be better off just running down the stairs like nothing ever happened, and I honestly wouldn't think anything of it.
Right. But, yeah, I don't know. I have wondered about that, and I feel like I have seen dogs that look like people, and maybe that explains why they couldn't match up everybody, but I'm not sure it's true in all cases, but I feel like in some cases, I can definitely see it.
Oh, because were they saying that there was some relation with the, people with, the one thing that they were talking about is people with longer hair tended to like dogs that had, ears that, came down. Uh-oh. And people with shorter hair tended to like dogs that had ears that perked up.
Oh. So I don't know here. I'm looking at my dog. His ears hang down, but they're pretty short. So I think they're just right. So that maybe is why I got the dog with that kind of hair, because my hair is just right. I think that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I did, because we weren't going to actually get Cayenne at first. We had our eye on this one dog. It was a border collie. Kia was so hyper when we first got her. We thought she was going to need something else that was really hyper. Yeah, we're going to get a long-haired dog there. And I guess the ex did have long hair.
Well, that would be a pain, because you'd have to get that haircut all the time.
Oh, yeah, I would not have been happy. I'm glad we ended up with Cayenne.
Yeah. Whenever I go into the dog store, you know, the pet store, and I see, like, the dogs getting their haircut in the salon there, I'm like, oh, man, thank goodness we don't have to do that. That would be just a pain. I guess you don't have to deal with shedding, but, you know, it's still a pain.
Yeah, I don't want to have to deal with that. Although, the lady is, quite happy now. Her cat is pretty old, 16.
Mm.
So, she doesn't clean herself as well as she used to. So she just had her shaved the last time she took her down, to the vet.
Oh, yeah.
And, she's like, oh, yeah, she's getting shaved again.
So, do you think the cat is like, how's the cat take being shaved?
She was okay with it.
Now, where do they stop when they're shaving the cat?
Oh, they, gave her leggings, like, from, like, the elbow down.
Cuffs, if you will. Sorry. Leggings, cuffs, okay.
Yeah, leggings. And then they gave her the lion cut. So, she had just the mane, so to speak. And she also requested that the tail be left alone. So the tail was also left alone. So she did... it wasn't her call to leave the leggings, but that was whoever was shaving her at the vet clinic.
Now, is that just a purely aesthetic choice, do you think? Or
Yeah. Interesting. And plus, I think that... It was more her hair on her stomach and, a lot of the problem was on her stomach.
Okay.
It wasn't her back or her legs or anything.
Like
that was,
matting?
Yeah, because yeah. She did have a really long coat. So, it made sense to shave that part.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's, I think that would look pretty cool. I always like to see the cats with like the lion cut, you know. I think that looks really good.
She looked a little weird at first because she had so much hair that she looked so small when she didn't have any hair.
Oh yeah,
because she's only about 6 pounds or 7 pounds. So to have it go from long hair to no hair was a little shocking. I'm handling it a little bit better now that there's well more than peach fuzz at this point, but it's almost is the depth of her leggings now.
But so it was pretty rough for you there for a while.
It was a little weird. it was almost like having a bald cat. Like, I'm glad she didn't have a bald cat. Like, that just would have freaked me out if she would have had, like, one of those Doctor, or, is it Doctor Evil?
Doctor Evil, yeah. I think he had the bald one, right?
Yeah.
I forget what those are called, but,
Yeah, like, that would have been weird. I don't know if I want that in my house. Like, I don't want a dog that looks like that either.
It's almost like not having skin in a way, you know. That's kind of the effect it has a little bit on me. Like I feel like there's something missing here. This is not right.
Yeah, it does. It looks like they should just have muscles on the outside. It just looks disturbing.
Yeah, it's like the there's still skin there, but it's like they don't have skin. Even they clearly they have skin, but it just triggers that for whatever reason.
they're just kind of creepy looking. So yeah, it was a little bit weird at first, but she was fine with it. Like, she didn't have any problems. It didn't seem like she was back to normal after she. She's always a little out of whack from the kitty sedative.
Oh yeah. But it probably feels better to, get all that old fur off of you, you know?
Right.
Air things out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I like shaving.
She probably enjoyed freaking you out, you know? Man, I can tell this is really messing with Kevin's mind. I love it. Well, it's been fun messing with your mind once again, Kevin.
Well, it is going to just take me a moment here, but the sippy time beer of the week, Deschutes Brewery from Oregon is in town this week with D.B. Woody, their giant cask of beer. Well, all summer, Seventh Son has been releasing a cask beer on Wednesdays. And this one happens to be Humulus Nimbus, which is their pale ale. And it has osmanthus flowers, grapefruit peel, and vanilla. I definitely taste the vanilla and the grapefruit.
Yeah, I'm not sure what an osmanthus flower tastes like, but yeah.
Unfamiliar with that one.
I can pick up on the grapefruit for sure. And I gotta say, this beer is quite delicious.
So that is the Sippy Time Beer of the Week. Local one, but hey, what the hell? I don't care. I'll let you send us out, Ken.
All right, Kevin. Well, everybody, you have a great week, and we'll see you next time.